WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this funky Friday, January 13th. Yes, it is Friday the 13th. Bad luck in the air? Question mark? I'm not superstitious. Well, not that superstitious, but hey, try not to step on any cracks in the sidewalk, all right? Well, we've got a great show in store for all of you out there as we will preview the weekend that is to come in the world of sports. The NFL playoffs. Oh, boy, I can't wait. You guys know that I am a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. Those who are watching via Facebook.com/currentsports right now or on Instagram Live, I'm rocking my Cowboys hat. I got on my Cowboys hoodie. My heart is probably in a star-shaped form right now. I'm just ready. I'm ready for some football, all right? Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys, that will take place on Sunday. We'll give you a preview of the entire NFL weekend. You don't want to miss that. We will talk about the Detroit Pistons and the Detroit Red Wings, which are really struggling right now. Both teams falling on the road last night. What's wrong with both teams? We'll try to answer that question. Also, a big name, actually a legend in the world of football, made some comments concerning today's NFL and whether or not looking back at his NFL career and how physical the game was back then and what we know about chronic traumatic encephalopathy and concussions, he's not sure whether or not he would have played the game of football. We'll tell you who that man is. And we will invite a coach who has given so much to the Mason High School football program. A coach whose name is synonymous with that program and the Bulldogs. Jerry Van Havel has decided to retire as head coach of the Mason High School football program. Jerry will join me live on the air around 1:30 to talk about that decision. Jerry has been the coach at Mason since the early 90s, sending shockwaves, news that is sending shockwaves through the local sports community. You don't want to miss that chat. Trust me, that and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. But hey, you know how we start the show. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with that news concerning Jerry Van Havel. Again, longtime head football coach at Mason High School. Jerry Van Havel is retiring from the program. He coached at Mason for nearly three decades, since 1991 to be exact. Van Havel is stepping down from his position to work part-time at NCAA Division III power Mount Union University as a program assistant. Van Havel will be responsible for recruiting in Michigan for a Mount Union program that his son Jarrett is a part of as a player. Van Havel has guided the Bulldogs to a 169-88 record, including 9-2 last fall. Jerry will join us live here on our airwaves during our second segment of the show. You do not want to miss that chat. The Michigan State University hockey team hasn't won a game since November 25th on the road over North Dakota. They have since dropped seven straight and are looking to get back to winning ways when they head to Penn State tonight for a two-game stand. Tonight's puck drop, as well as tomorrow's, is scheduled for 7 p.m. Penn State is the second highest scoring team in the nation averaging 4.53 goals a game. Harvard is averaging a shade more at 4.57. Coming off a win over Minnesota at home on Wednesday night, the Michigan State men's basketball team will head to Ohio State to play the Buckeyes. On Sunday at 1:30 p.m., the Spartans lead Big Ten play with a 4-1 mark. And this Big Ten conference this year has been, I mean, I can't even describe it. Everybody beating up on everybody. Last night, Purdue fell to Iowa. Are you kidding me? What in the world is going on here? Kind of reminds me of how the Big Ten football year went. Everybody just beating up on one another. Fun season, though. Fun season. And, of course, we have to mention the Michigan State women's basketball team, which has won 3 of its last 4 games and will play Rutgers on the road tomorrow at noon with Tuesday's win over Ohio State. It marks the team's first win over a ranked team this season after losing its previous 2. MSU improved to 5-1 with the starting lineup of Tori Jankowska, Brandi Agee, Taya Reimer, Taryn McCutcheon, and Victoria Gaines. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You'll probably see that same starting lineup tomorrow. Former MSU football quote-unquote captain Demetrius Cox will pay $1,085 in fines and restitution to resolve a criminal case that derived from an alleged assault on a taxi driver last fall in East Lansing. The starting defensive back on last year's team will avoid jail time under a plea agreement that reduces a misdemeanor assault charge to a civil infraction of littering, court records indicate. Now, the assault charge will be dismissed if he abides by a set of conditions. Police records indicate the 22-year-old Cox was drunk and lost when he decided to punch a cab driver during the early morning hours of November 24th, breaking the driver's nose. It was a rough night for both the Detroit Pistons and the Red Wings as both fell on the road. The Wings fell to the Dallas Stars 5-2, while the Pistons lost to the powerhouse that is the Golden State Warriors 127-107. The final of that one. The Pistons have lost 2 of the last 3 games, while the Wings have lost their last 3 games, all on the road. Now, the Winged Will return to the Joe tomorrow night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Pistons get right back to work tonight as they head to Utah to groove against the Jazz. Tip time is set for 10:30 p.m. The 6-game road trip wraps up on Sunday against the L.A. Lakers. And last but certainly not least, the divisional round of the NFL playoffs will take place this weekend. On Saturday, the Seattle Seahawks and Atlanta Falcons will get you warmed up at 4:35 p.m. Later that evening at 8:15, the Houston Texans will play Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. On Sunday, starting at 1:05 p.m., the Pittsburgh Steelers and Le'Veon Bell will pay a visit to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. And later that afternoon, I will be glued to my television. Get ready, football world. In what is being dubbed as the most intriguing game of the playoff weekend, the Green Bay Packers will take a visit to Jerry's World to play the Dallas Cowboys at 4:40 p.m. We will have a complete preview of those matchups later on this hour here on our airwaves. If you want to chime in on what you think will take place in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, please call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-WKAR. 9527. Again, go to facebook.com/currentsports. I'll be reading your comments throughout the entire hour, and even tweet me. I'll read the tweets as well at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. So much to get to, so little time. Let's start the show.
game with a single sprint. Super Bowl, who fights a never-ending battle against the nation's teams of evil enemy forces. Yes, today, another episode in the continuing NFL saga of this amazing man fighting for truth, justice, and the American conference. Against all odds, the drama continues. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? It's Super Bowl!
You know, that's like Muhammad Ali or something. So fast, and so sharp, and hit so quick that you stun the guys trying to tackle you. You see him starting right. He looks like he's in trouble, but look how hard he hits people. He's just so quick. Look at that burst, banging into people. It's explosion. He's really beating the defenders to the punch. That's the greatness that this guy has as an athlete.
Bo Jackson has some room. One man to beat, and from behind, Kevin Walker saves another touchdown.
And watch these broken tackles. So his legs and, of course, the ball.
Jackson, shaken up a bit, has not gotten to his feet as yet. That was a 34-yard run by Jackson, who does not appear to be seriously injured and gets a big hand from this crowd. What a player.
Yeah, we're smoothing it out on this Friday here on WKAR's Current Sports. A little George Michael for you. R.I.P. George Michael, a fantastic artist. We lost a lot of folks in 2016. I will miss his music. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Al Martin. We're rocking it out here on the final edition of Current Sports of the Week. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Before we dive into what exactly is going wrong when it comes to the Detroit Pistons and the Detroit Red Wings, I wanted to begin today's show with comments from a former, I don't even like to pub him as a former NFL great, even though he was, because he was just an athlete. He was also an MLB All-Star, folks. Still the first player ever to be both an NFL Pro Bowler and an MLB All-Star. You know who I'm talking about. You know. Who knows? Bo knows. That's right, Bo Jackson. The great Bo Jackson is leading headlines today due to comments that he made via USA Today Sports concerning his playing time on the gridiron. Bo Jackson, who I'm a huge fan of. I mean, how could you not be a fan of Bo Jackson? I mean, the epitome of athletic excellence. I still think about, you know, what the numbers could have looked like if Bo would have kept playing after 91, you guys know what happened in 1991. Jackson suffered a serious hip injury against the Cincinnati Bengals that essentially ended his football career. And his career on the gridiron was cut short. But it's still remarkable when you look at some of the old-time footage, which I got the chance to do via YouTube this morning when compiling and producing today's show. I mean, he was just a man amongst boys out there on the football field and on the field of a baseball diamond. He was that good. He was that good. And you look at Bo's football career, just remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. So he sits down with USA Today Sports in a pretty candid interview, to say the least. And he had this to say concerning his time on the football field. Quote, "If I knew back then what I know now, I would have never played football. Never. I wish I had known about all of those head injuries, But no one knew that. And the people that did know that, they wouldn't tell anybody. The game has gotten so violent, so rough. We're so much more educated on this CTE stuff, CTE being chronic traumatic encephalopathy. There's no way I would ever allow my kids to play football today. Even though I love the sport, and this is the quote that I really love about this whole thing. Even though I love the sport, I'd smack them in the mouth if they said they wanted to play football. I tell them play baseball, basketball, soccer, golf, just anything but football. End quote. Honest words from a man who ripped it up during his NFL football career. Bo Jackson in an interview with USA Today Sports. Yes, we are going to be talking about the game of football in relation to head injuries and concussions for the next 10, 15, 20 years, folks. Let's just call it like it is. We've been talking about this subject for a long, long time. And it shows no signs of dying down anytime soon. I found what Bo had to say. First off, as I stated, quite honest. To be quite honest, and also very telling of how many players, I believe, who are in the NFL think concerning the game today, especially the future generations who want to play the game of football. You know, little Johnny sitting back every Sunday watching who he dubs to be his heroes on the tube, competes in this smash-mouth game we call football. I want to say this, and I've said this many times. We have to be quick not to jump just on football for the quote-unquote concussion discussion, because football is not the only game that needs to be lumped in this dialogue, and we've talked about it numerous times. I believe the last time we talked about it on our airwaves was when we actually had professor and journalist Joanne Gertzner on our show to promote her new book, Back in the Game, with also Dr. Kutcher, who is a concussion specialist and has worked with numerous athletes throughout his entire tenure and still does so today. Actually, I just got word that he is now working with NASCAR as well when it comes to concussions in that sport. So this isn't just a football discussion. Soccer is also a sport that has high risk of concussion, and we've seen numerous reports done on that when it comes to headers in the game, you know, in many areas of the nation. Youth soccer leagues are banning the header because, you know, the brain is still being developed at a young age. I saw a story on HBO's Real Sports where a young girl who was playing the game of soccer, I mean, she was known for heading. That was one of her specialties out there on the soccer field. You know, she would have these chronic migraines that were uncontrollable. She would have trouble with her memory. It was constantly, you know, in a bad state when it came to her mood. So there are many youth organizations across the board in our nation that are banning heading in soccer. So this isn't just a football discussion. So I want to make that be clear as well. And, you know, the other argument to this thing, now, to answer the question like I constantly have on this show, yeah, well, because we talked about this extensively. If little Al came to me, when I do have a little Al, when little Al comes to me and says, "Hey, Dad, I want to play the game of football," tell you what, I would sit down and have a serious conversation with him about that topic. And I would tell him about the risk and tell him about the research that is being done within the sport that alludes to brain injury. But ultimately, if that's his passion, if he wants to go for that, I mean, I'm not gonna hinder him in that. If he wants to play, play. But I would have a serious talk with him. I'll just say that. I would much rather him, just like Bo, I would much rather him go out and pick up a baseball bat or go to the local hardwood and get his crossover dribble and pump fake and mid-range jumper down, or pick up some golf clubs and get his Tiger Woods on, than to pick up a pigskin and go out there and hit somebody. I just what we're learning by the month, it feels like, it makes you think twice. That's all I'm saying. But what you learn by playing football is so valuable. Again, it is a vicious contact sport, but this is what I love about football, because you learn camaraderie arguably more so than other sports. And what I mean by that is football is a game where, you know, it's not like, you know, you can block on every down or you can play, you can catch the football every down. It's truly a game where you rely so heavily on those other 10 guys on the field alongside you. In basketball, I mean, you can affect the game on both ends of the floor. I mean, everybody on the court can shoot. Everybody can pass. Everybody can defend. You can affect the game in a firsthand aspect. In football, if you're running a football, who you need somebody to block for you. You know what I mean? You're relying on a lot of moving parts. And all of those moving parts must be on the same page, and all of those moving parts have to simultaneously work together in order to have success. That builds trust, and it shows you how to work with a team. There are so many direct correlations to the game of football and the game of life that are invaluable. I get that. But the concussion discussion is so in your face and glaring that is it really worth the risk? You know, because you can learn team values in other sports. Maybe not as impactful as the game of football, but you can certainly learn team aspects by being on a basketball team. I mean, heck, I played basketball. I've been playing basketball, organized basketball, since I was about 7 years old. So I know that firsthand. Many of you do. And the thing that amazes me about concussion protocol in football today, and I had this chat actually with Joanne Gerstner, who made a stop to the studio the other day. She's done extensive research on this topic. But, you know, when there is a suspected concussion on the football field and the player goes to the sidelines to go through concussion protocol, you know, that player, after that hit, may not show signs of concussion right then and there. But what I didn't know is that later on, as the game is going on, and after you've cleared that player to go out there and lace up the cleats again to go and play, the signs may be apparent then. So not initially when for instance, we saw that big hit in the national championship game, right, that Tony Brown laid on Mike Williams. Mike Williams goes to the sidelines. They go through, quote-unquote, concussion protocol. He passes the test and goes back in the game. Has a marvelous game, by the way. But beside the point there is that it's a real possibility that after that hit, maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes after, is when the symptoms of a concussion could rise to the surface. But we won't know because he passed that initial test right 5 minutes after the hit. What will football look like in the next 10 to 15 years? That's my question. That's the big question for me. What will the game of football look like in 10 to 15 years? That's what I ponder now when discussing head trauma and the gridiron. Now, I will say this. There are lots of chapters to that conversation because, in all honesty, you know, I'm from the west side of Detroit, born and bred, and I've seen many, many friends of mine that don't have much growing up. but are so talented athletically when it comes to the game of football that regardless of this whole head trauma and concussion discussion, regardless of that, football can become an avenue for this young kid who doesn't have much, is living in a house with five or six other siblings whose parents are on welfare. This kid can affect their family with his athletic talent. I don't think it has much impact when looking at certain communities and the talent that certain young men have on the gridiron, because they could care less about that. They're seeing checks at the end of the day. They see the end goal of possibly going to the National Football League, becoming a high pick, and getting paid millions of dollars. So that conversation is tempered depending on who you talk about. But I do believe that the landscape nationally of the game of football, and when you hear comments like this coming from a man like Bo Jackson, it's going to hurt the game. I truly believe that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. The Detroit Pistons and Detroit Red Wings are not having great outings as of late. You look at what happened last night, it's a perfect brief synopsis of what has taken place in the last few weeks here. The Wings and the Pistons falling on the same night on the road. The Wings falling to the Dallas Stars 5-2. The Pistons losing to the Golden State Warriors on national TV on TNT and company. 127-107, the final of that game. The Pistons losers of two of the last three. The Wings have lost their last three games all on the road. The Pistons, of course, on a road trip as well. They will wrap up a six-game road trip on Sunday against the L.A. Lakers, and they have a back-to-back meeting. Of course, they were playing the Warriors last night, and they will play the Utah Jazz tonight at 10:30 p.m. The big thing that stands out to me when it comes to the Detroit Pistons is defense. Now, granted, they hung tough with the Golden State Warriors in that first half, and I hate to admit it, but I do agree with what Charles Barkley had to say at halftime of that game. The Warriors look bored. I gotta say that, folks. I mean, this is a team that's had excellence for quite some time now. Well, for the last 3 years in the NBA, right? They're so good, so talented, weapons everywhere for Dub Nation, that when you're playing a Thursday night game against a team like the Detroit Pistons, you may not be totally in tune with what you're doing out there and how you're executing on the hardwood. And I think the first half was evident of that from the Warriors, because you saw in the second half an entirely different kind of team. Granted, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope going out in the first quarter due to a shoulder injury coming off a pick, that did hurt the Pistons because KCP is the best defensive player on that roster. But even with KCP in that lineup, I'm not sure how much his presence would have prevented a 127-107 differential at the Oracle Center. The Pistons got to play defense. And it amazes me how much this team just enacts inept effort on that side of the basketball. In particular, I want to call out one guy, Andre Drummond, who is no doubt, Andre Drummond is one of the most dynamic big men in today's league. He can score. He can get rebounds. And I really believe that when you look at his offensive repertoire, that has even grown since his rookie year. Going back to the scoring part of things, I mean, how many times have we seen Andre Drummond face up and throw up that baby jump hook? Or back his defender down with a nice post move and up and under for a layup? I mean, his offensive game has grown so much, but defensively, Andre Drummond, to be his size, it amazes me how many points he gives up in the paint. layup after layup after layup, because with the exception of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the other guards on the team are really easy to get by. So you really depend on a guy like Andre Drummond to clog up the lane and at least contest shots down low. But time and time again, I saw players just go to the hole, and Andre Drummond didn't even know where he was at the time. Just blows my mind how many times that happens. And it also puts in perspective for all you Detroit Pistons fans out there, including myself, just how far the red, white, and royal blue are from legitimately competing for an NBA title. They need a new another piece or two. And the mentality has to change from this team. Stan Van, I know, is going to – I trust Stan Van. I trust Stan Van, but I can see sometimes that Stan Van himself even has a hard time motivating the Detroit Pistons at times. I just don't get it. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite Jerry Van Havel to the show. Now former Mason High School football coach who is retiring after being with the program since 1991. Jerry will join me live here on our airwaves. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We began the show chatting about Bo Jackson and his comments concerning the game of football in relation to head injuries. Candid comments from Bo in relation to allowing his kids to play the game of football. Quote, "Even though I love the sport, I'd smack them in the mouth if they said they wanted to play football," end quote. Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. I hope he's giving me, I guess we have callers calling in right now. Again, the number is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Isaac is manning the phones right now, but I wanted to get his thoughts on what exactly he believes the landscape of the game of football, what he believes that will look like in 10 to 15 years. I want to read a brief comment via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. This comes from Chris Jennings, one of our dear listeners here on our airwaves. Chris weighs in and says, "That's a tough question, Al. There are better rules now to protect players now than in the past as well. And Bo was one of the greatest players to play two sports, without a doubt." There are better rules. I think that's a fair point. But in a game like football, there are so many bang-bang plays. Now, granted, we've seen players get fined for certain hits, but how many times have we seen the referees? They happen so quick. Football is such a physical game that it's impossible to accurately officiate those type of hits in real time every single time that they happen. Perfect example. I keep going back to this Tony Brown on Mike Williams hit in the national championship game. I mean, that was clear targeting, clear helmet-to-helmet contact. And was there a flag on the play? Not at all. Not at all. A crime. I could not believe it. My jaw was on the floor. Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit, they didn't even acknowledge it in real time. And they said, "Oh, my goodness, big hit." But they didn't acknowledge that it was a possible targeting hit until they go to the replay and they say, "Oh, man, that looked bad." You think? So it's really impossible to try and officiate those type of plays every single time they happen, because the referees are human and they can't see everything in real time when it's happening. It's a tough topic. It really is. And I encourage you all to weigh in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to get to our guest for today's show. Keep calling in and stay on hold. I promise you I'll get to those calls. But I want to invite a very special guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Jerry Van Havel. And he took over the Mason football program back in 1991. Van Havel has been one of the longest serving coaches in the Lansing area and guided many successful teams in his nearly three decades of coaching at Mason. Van Havel is now bidding the Bulldogs adieu and is turning his attention elsewhere, announcing that he will be stepping down from his position to work part-time at NCAA Division III power Mount Union University as a program assistant. Right now on line one, we have Jerry Van Havel, retiring Mason High School football coach, to join us here on Current Sports. Jerry, how are you doing, my man?
Hey, I'm doing great today. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, it's fantastic to hear your voice, my friend. And I first want to start this conversation by asking you, Jerry, when did the thought of retirement first enter your mind?
Never really until just before Christmas when the Mount Union situation and opportunity came about. I had no intention of leaving here. I wanted to be here 35 or 40 years. I full of energy and excitement, and things are going well here, and we have great kids and great program, and we have good teams coming up. So had no intention of leaving, but this opportunity came along, and I know people say it all the time in the profession, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's the only job they would leave for. I don't know if anybody else is telling the truth, but I am, because this is the only one I would leave for. And so I didn't really have the intent of leaving Mason High School, but I will for Mount Union because it's that important to me. It's that special to me.
Now, I know your son, Jarrett, will be balling out for Mountain Union. What, of course, that had something to do with it as well, I assume. But what also made that job intriguing for you, Jerry?
Well, you know, there's no program in the country that's had the success that Mountain Union has had. You know, with the 12 national championships in Division III, including last year in 2015, they've been to the Stag Bowl, the national championship game, 19 times. They've been in the national semifinal 22 years in a row. This year, when they got beat in the semifinal, West Texas, it was their first road loss since 1994. So just a chance to be a part of a program like that that's been literally the Mount Union machine for 30 years is, I mean, I'm just blown away that they'll allow me just a little corner to help and to work and, you know, I'm just going to be a worker in a great big colony of ants, man. I'm just going to work hard and try to do the very best I can to help those guys out. But it's just so inviting to be a part of that. It's just, it really is somewhat unique and special.
Now, Jerry, how did that opportunity come about? Did they reach out to you, or did you see an opening and just apply?
Well, just through some casual conversation down there that you know, they needed someone to recruit Michigan because their staff had changed a little bit. You know, you get turned over and that sort of thing. And I just said, hey, I'm here. I know all the coaches in the state. I know the landscape. And I'm excited to do it. And Vince Karras, you know, just was really good to me about giving me an opportunity to have at it, you know. So I'm really thankful for that.
To have an opportunity like this to be alongside your son, Jarrett, at Mountain Union, how much of a factor did that play in making that decision, Jerry?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. You know, if anything, it was a little bit of a detriment because I wanted to stay out of his way because, you know, by default, he was stuck with me. All through high school, if you will, you know, I coached track too. He was a track kid, so he had to go to track classes with me too, you know. So,
right.
But I can tell you it was just a tremendous and rewarding experience for me. I know he enjoyed it too. And he was very, very adamant to me that, Dad, he wanted me to take the job if there was an opportunity came along. And so I had that conversation with him several times, and he was over the top, excited about me joining up with them. And but I'm still going to give him a space, you know, he's doing his thing down there, and I won't be on campus all the time, of course, or very much, and I'll be here working in Michigan doing the recruiting, so we still have space, but it is important. I mean, you know, it's a family atmosphere down there with Coach Karras, and so I'm just tickled to be a part of it. So,
Jerry Van Havel, retiring Mason High School football coach. Jerry, I got a chance to tune in during the 6 o'clock news to see you address the school and announce this move. I can only imagine what kind of emotions you were feeling before getting behind that podium and talking to the Bulldog family. What went through your head before you addressed them? How nerve-wracking was that moment for you?
It was difficult. I mean, I've had a difficult month because I kind of knew it was coming. I knew I was going to do it, but I couldn't let myself do it. And because, like I said, I wasn't ready to do it here. There was no reason to leave here. There was no impetus to leave. And I just wanted here and stuff. But so what would happen is I would talk myself into it during the day, you know, and I'd be all for it. Yep, I'm good to go. I can do this. And then I wake up in the morning and I'd be like, no, I can't do it. I can't leave. I'm just not going to do it. And then I would chicken out. I'd just go back and forth. And I even woke up in the morning of the day of yesterday morning. I told my wife, I said, I think I'm going to go to the press conference this afternoon. I think I'm going to chicken out. I'm going to stay, you know.
So you were having second thoughts.
You do whatever you want to do. I'll support you either way. And I knew the right thing for me at the time right now is to do what I did. And I'm so excited about it. But it was a very difficult decision. It was very emotional. Had long ties with all my colleagues here in the other sports and our athletic department, our administration. It's just been a great ride here. I couldn't have worked with better colleagues, better coaches in other programs, just better players. It's just been great. This is a great place to be. And so that's what makes it hard. If we weren't very good, if it wasn't much fun, it'd be easy to leave. But that's not the way it is here, you know?
Jerry, you made a statement yesterday, and you said that you will never coach another high school program. Why is that?
Because there's only one Mason High School. There's only one Mason football. And we as a community built something that's unique and special here in Mason. And it's dear to me forever. It was, you know, when I started coaching here, my wife and I had just moved to town. We had no children. We raised four kids up through the program, you know, and graduated from Mason High School. And all the kids that played here, it's unique. It's special. It's part of our, you know, our fabric here. This is Mason football. And I don't want to go to, at the high school level, I would never go anywhere else because we couldn't remake Mason football. You know, I don't want to be a part of that. I want Mason football, and then I like to be at the university level, and those are the only choices. So,
what has been the reaction from your family, friends, the Mason community, and your now former players? What was that like? What's that been like? I should say,
I'm going to stay on and work with the players until the new coach is hired because I want our guys to have a good offseason. I want them to have a down period for a few months and not be ready for the year in the fall. I want them to be successful. I want us to play really well in the fall. So I'm going to continue on day to day. You know, today I'm going to be at the weight room doing workout and speed with the kids so we can continue on the tradition, you know. So our players have been great. You know, they've been really understanding and just awesome. It's been a great outpouring of parent support. And you know, my phone's been going crazy all last night and today with texts and messages. And I think you guys are interview number three today. I think I have six or seven today. So it's good, though, you know.
And right.
It just shows you, you know, what a great place this is. It's just so, I mean, I started out all those years ago wanting to be here for a long, long time. And I still feel like I could have gone 40 years instead of 29, but at the same time, 29 is pretty good. 26 is the head coach, and we're pretty excited about what we've done and proud of our program.
Well, Jerry, with all of the text and the interviews, I think that puts in perspective just the kind of impact you have had in this community for a long, long time. Jerry, well, when it comes to, you just made a statement that you will be working with the players until a new coach is hired. Is there any particular name that comes to mind that you will be vying for to take over in your role?
No, you know, I'm going to have to work with the administration on some of that. But at the end of the day, that decision will be made by them. And they're very confident they'll do a great job and we'll find the right person. And I just don't know who that's going to be. I really don't. I don't know if it's a staff person, an outside person, or a former player or what. I don't know. But we'd like to carry on our tradition and we'd like to be strong for years to come. And I think we can do that. We just got to make some decisions that keep us in that direction, you know.
What kind of a coach do you want to be remembered as, Jerry?
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a great question. You know, I definitely want to be remembered as a guy that was motivated and high energy and organized. We did things the right way because we did do things the right way. And we expected our kids to do things the right way, attention to detail. At the end of the day, you know, I hope that they remember us as a staff that was had integrity. You know, we worked hard and we cared about our players.
Jerry, before we get you out of here, my friend, I want to know two things. Of course, the cliche question anytime I hear about big news like this, someone leaving a post that they've had for so long and making a profound impact in the community. One, what are you going to miss about coaching high school football? And what has been your favorite memory in this long ride dating back to 91?
Wow, yeah, you're right. I know for sure what I'm going to miss. Two things. I'm going to miss the camaraderie with the kids, the daily grind. I like going to the weight room. I like double sessions. I like walking in from practice to the high school. It's about a two-minute walk across the parking lot. I like those things because those are times where you're with kids and kids only. You know, those are the moments and the times, the unscripted things that happen and the funny events and all that stuff, all the hard work. I'll miss that the most. And the second most is Friday night. I mean, Friday night is pay night. You know, it's payday. It's the lights. It's the band. It's the community. It's the big rumble, man. I mean, I love Friday night. I love to compete. I love to watch our kids be successful. So I'll miss the time with the kids. And I'll certainly miss Friday night, you know, those things. As far as, you know, memories of individuals that stand out, there's just so many. Just watching kids that aren't very good when they come in as freshmen, watching them develop and become good players and have success and win big games. And there's four or five big games over the years that stick out. There were games where we really performed well and in difficult situations and had some success. And, you know, those are certainly really good memories for me.
Well, we are certainly going to miss you on the sidelines every single high school football year from here on out, Jerry. Mount Union University assistant now. How are you adjusting to that new role? Have you been prepping for it already?
You know, I've been recruiting and been out on the road and seeing high school players and doing evaluations quite a bit for the last month or 6 weeks. And I've really enjoyed it. I like it a lot. I like working with high school kids. I like, you know, evaluating kids on film because it gives me an opportunity to help kids in a different way where I can help kids get to the university level, get an education, and play good college football at the same time. So I really enjoy it so far, yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Jerry, that's in Ohio, right?
That's correct, Eastern Ohio, down by between Canton and Youngstown.
So when are you officially making a move? Is the family, the entire family coming with you, I assume?
No, we're actually going to stay in Michigan. We're going to stay here because most of my work will be in Michigan with recruiting and so forth.
Right.
And then when I need to be on campus, I can just go back and forth a little bit. So.
Fantastic stuff. Jerry Van Havel, retiring Mason High School football coach. Jerry, we'll be in touch, my friend, and congratulations on the new chapter in your life.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thanks for everything.
You got it. Let's hear our second break. When we come back, we will invite our intern, David Greenberg, live here in studio to help us preview the NFL playoff weekend. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We are taking your phone calls, 517-355-WKAR. We've got Kirk from Grand Ledge on line one. Kirk, what's up, my man?
Hey, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Good. So I listened to you talking about concussions and stuff.
Yeah.
And first of all, I want to say that if Bo Jackson would have never carried a football and it had only been a baseball player, we would have been talking about him as a Hall of Fame baseball player.
For sure. For sure. I mean, he was that good, Kirk. I mean, such a dynamic athlete. Fun to watch.
Well, I think about him, and I think about Kirk Gibson, and I think about the fact that, quite frankly, I think Gibson would have been a better football player in terms of career and stuff.
For Gibby?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gibson, I think, would have been like a Hall of Fame wide receiver in the NFL without any question. I watched him play live. He was the first of the true mismatched wide receivers. But he was smart. He went to the sport where you could have a long career, not just one glorious career that might be shortened by your knee or your head or whatever being taken out.
Right.
But anyway,
right.
In regards to the whole concussion thing and the hitting thing in football, as someone who is a former defensive player, I'm appalled by the tackling skills that people show in the NFL. They don't tackle, Al. They just hit. Mm-hmm. They don't use their arms to wrap or whatever. And if you use your arms to wrap, that takes the head out of the equation most of the time. Or if it doesn't take the head out of the equation, you usually miss kind of stuff. So I think it would be a very easy rule change for officials to be able to make if they just said, In the process of making a tackle, you have to have open arms and you're trying to wrap. If you're just hitting somebody with your shoulder, you're just hitting somebody with your forearm, you're just hitting somebody with your head, that's not a tackle, that's a personal foul, 15 yards.
I like that. I like that. I love fantastic call. Kirk, thank you so much, my friend.
One quick thing about the Pistons.
No, go ahead. Oh, yeah, please hit on the Pistons, please. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I called the other day and offered the DeAndre Jordan for Andre Drummond trade. But here's one of the other benefits of having DeAndre Jordan besides him being a much better defensive player. Andre Drummond could care less. He is uninterested. Whereas somebody like DeAndre Jordan, I think, would kick a few butts. I mean, back in the days of the Bad Boys, you had to deal with Rick Mahorn, and you had to deal with Bill Laimbeer and Isaiah Thomas if you weren't giving your full effort. And you know, there was some locker room justice that would go on.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Drummond should be the guy who's doing that. He doesn't. He doesn't care. I mean, he is disinterested if you watch him play.
I agree. You look at his demeanor sometimes, and I totally agree with you. Kirk, thank you so much.
All right, let you go. Bye.
Great take on both of those. And that's the thing. I mean, the NFL is trying to modify how guys hit in the NFL. But again, yeah, you don't. It's rare when you see wrapping up a player, especially when it comes to the secondary. And again, the other argument is big hit sell. You know, we love the big, sexy big hit, right? I mean, it gets played on SportsCenter. Everybody in the oohs and the ahs in the crowd. But at the end of the day, as far as the safety of these NFL players, not that safe. All right. Well, the NFL playoffs, the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, will take place this weekend starting tomorrow. It's time to preview those four matchups right now. Oh, yes. I'm ready for it. I'm rocking my Dallas Cowboys hat, my hoodie. I'm ready, Isaac. I can't wait, man.
I can tell, and I'm afraid for you because I think you might get shut down. More on that later.
Okay, we'll see. All right, right now we have intern David Greenberg as we have, oh, we got to speed it up, but we only got 5 minutes left. But we have David Greenberg, our fantastic intern, in to give us a bit of a preview of the four matchups this weekend. David, take it away.
All right, so first we got the Seahawks versus the Falcons in Atlanta. Atlanta's a 5-point favorite. Matty Ice, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions on the season. QBR of 117.1 leads the league. Falcons are 5-3 at home. Seahawks are 4-4-1 on the road. Falcons are averaging 36.4 points per game in the last 5 games. I'm going with Atlanta at home.
I am also... Well, I'm going with Atlanta. Yeah, you can't go wrong with Matty Ice. I'm going with Atlanta as well in this one, Isaac. Who you got?
I'm going with Seattle because although I love Atlanta as a team, I'm not convinced that they've beat all those opponents of huge caliber that the Seahawks have in the past. I like Seahawks' experience. I like them beating the Falcons, even though Atlanta's hosting.
I don't see that. I'm not sold on the Seattle Seahawks. I love Matt Ryan. They're going to have a tall order with him. David?
Second game, we got the Texans versus the Patriots. Do we even need to talk about this one? New England's a 15.5-point favorite. Tom Brady missed the first four games of the season. Still throws for 3,500 yards, 28 touchdowns, and only 2 interceptions. He has a QBR of 112.2. LeGarrette Blount, 18 touchdowns on the season. Brock Osweiler, the preseason, signs a 4-year, $72 million deal. Looks like that was really good for Houston. Anyways, New England, top 5 defense. Patriots destroy them.
I agree. I'm going with the Pats. Isaac?
3 or 4 touchdowns, that's the question. It's not a question about who wins this game. Patriots easy.
Easy win for Tom Brady. Go ahead, David.
Steelers at Chiefs. This game intrigues me. Kansas City's a 1-point favorite. Steelers have a red-hot offense led by Big Ben, running back Le'Veon Bell, and wide receiver Antonio Brown. They're winners of 8 straight games. Last loss came exactly 2 months ago on November 13th. Averaging about 27 points per game in their last 8 games. Their last loss came against the Cowboys.
Really?
Yes, it did.
You're right. You're bringing back bad memories, David. Yeah.
That's right. Chiefs, you know, they're just a scrappy team. They always seem to win. They got a good defense, a defense that scores a lot of points, led by Marcus Peters, Justin Houston, Eric Berry, Dontari Bow, guys like that. I gotta go with the Steelers, though. It's too close of a game. I think the Steelers are playing really well, led by Big Ben. I got to go Steelers here.
You're singing to my choir right now, David. I'm going with the Steelers as well. This will be Le'Veon Bell's game, averaging 143 yards the past seven games. The Chiefs have major issues stopping the run. This will be a close one, though. Steelers by a field goal.
Hey, David's right. The KC Chiefs always win except in the playoffs. So the Steelers taking this one and taking it a pretty long way.
Now, for, I'd say, probably the favorite game of the postseason so far, the Packers versus the boys in Dallas. Dallas, a five-point favorite. Aaron Rodgers is by far the hottest quarterback in the league right now. 40 touchdowns, 7 interceptions on the season, 20 total touchdowns, and 0 interceptions in the last 7 games, in which they have won 7 straight. Packers start out 4-6, win 7 straight. Now we are here. I want to talk a little bit about what Shannon Sharp said on Skip and Shannon on Fox Sports 1. He said that right now Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league. Tom Brady, most accomplished, but Aaron Rodgers, best thrower, and I could not agree more with that statement. Anyways, Packers have a lot of injuries. Jordy Nelson out with multiple rib fractures. Jeff Janis, another wide receiver, he's out, special teams guy. Now let's go to the Cowboys.
Real briefly, we got less than a minute here, David.
Sounds good. Dak Prescott, the two rookies, Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott. Zeke Elliott, 1,600 yards on the season, best offensive line. I got to go with, that's a tough one. I got to go with the Packers.
Stop it.
I got to go with the
Packers.
I'm going with the Dallas. They're too hot right now.
I hate this dialogue about this Green Bay Packer team being a different team from when my Cowboys beat them at Lambeau Field. They got the same names. It's the same roster. The Cowboys win this one in Jerry's world.
Put Rodgers in a dome, and that ball is chrome. Packers win by 3 points.
I like that.
I like that rhyme. Cowboys win. Respect the star, baby. We'll be back at it on Monday to talk about the Dallas Cowboys win and so much more. Take care. Thanks to Jerry Van Habel. And be easy, folks.